Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And starting in verse 9, the Word of God says that as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of a man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. But God had revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. You see, there is this thing, and it is incredibly important. This is one of the most important things that any believer can receive for their own life, can learn for themselves. And it is something that the Holy Spirit will work in believers' hearts to teach them, to get this to be a point of reality for them. That God has prepared something for our lives, but we cannot understand it. This week, actually the past couple weeks, I've had a number of people, several people, contact me with various issues. And these were all reasonable issues that they spoke with me about and concerns. And they were right to speak to me about them. But in every one of those cases, there was one consistency. That God was doing something in their heart that they didn't necessarily understand. God does that to me all the time. It's a good thing. But God does that all the time in my life. He does something in me that I don't understand. He gives me a vision. He gives me a promise. He gives me a call. He gives me a challenge. He gives me a trial or a crisis that I don't understand. And I say to God, God, I don't get it. And God says, it doesn't matter. You see, this is the thing. The I don't get it part says to God, God, there is a requirement that I understand. And God says, no such requirement exists. So when I get into this place, I have to realize that the work is indeed finished. The plan is real. The purpose is real. The call is real. The promises are real. Prayer is real. God's provisions are real and they are in place. Guys, what God is doing in our lives, each one of us, is real. Sometimes we don't know if it's real. Sometimes we say to ourselves, is this just my imagination that this is God? Or did I really blow everything up? Well, it's possible that both are right. For example, I have never had a failure that was your fault. But I have had failure. But in those failures, God has brought something, a plan, that worked a purpose. A plan to get to know grace, a plan to get to know mercy, a plan to get to know His faithfulness, a plan to get to know His loving kindness. Even in the failures, the plan is not eliminated. Sometimes God brings the trial and it's not a failure. Sometimes something just comes against me. I was doing everything right. I was walking in the light. I lived by doctrine as best as I know. If I had sin in my life, I wasn't aware of it. And the test comes anyway. The trial comes anyway. And I don't get it. And I say to God, God, I don't get why this is here, because I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing and yet it's coming anyway. And God says, I know it is. I sent it. And you say, it's not because of something you did wrong. It's because of the next stage in the plan. You see, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Don't be surprised when God does things to order those steps. We believers, like, God, what are you doing? God says, I'm ordering your steps. I say, where? And He says, don't worry about it. See, it's not for a man to know his own way. It's for a man to trust God. My desire to know my own way is simply my desire not to trust God. But He won't show me my own way. And sometimes when He does, He'll only show it to me on a partial basis. It's like Pastor Schaller said a few services ago. He said, God works on a need-to-know basis. It's like, God, you're not sharing a whole lot with me. And God says, I know, it's on purpose. I'm only telling you what you need to know from me. And I'm not going to tell you anything more, so that you'll operate in faith toward my character. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. See, one of the things when I say to God, I want to understand, I want to know, is that I want to understand, but in my natural mind. You see, if I understand in faith, then the circumstance may be present, but my understanding is not of my circumstance, but of its source. I may not always know how things are going to pan out, but I know they're going to pan out better than when they started. Why? Because Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says that. So I get into these circumstances, I get into these places, and by faith I understand that this is God's plan working in my life, although I don't necessarily know the details of the plan. You see, eye has not seen. What it's talking about is it cannot be perceived by sight. Sight will not give me an understanding of God's plan. Okay? Sight will not give me an understanding of God's plan. And ear, nor ear heard. It cannot, and that, nor ear heard. It's not actually talking about the ear or hearing. In the original language, what it's talking about is it cannot be comprehended by natural understanding. So you're not going to be able to figure it out by sight, and your natural understanding will not be able to grasp what is going on. Neither one of these two. Okay, it's neither one of these two have entered into the heart of a man. And what that's talking about there is neither one can bring it into a man's frame of reference. So neither sight nor natural understanding can illuminate my frame of reference as to God's plan and what He is doing in my life. You see, this is where trusting His character comes in. This is where trusting the fact that He loves me comes in. This is where trusting the fact that even though I may not like salt, I may not like, what do you put in them? Butter, I may not like flour. You don't put vinegar in them, right? Okay. I don't like vinegar either, but I do like biscuits. And we won't put the vinegar in them. Okay, I may not like the process. I may not enjoy the various ingredients that God puts into the process, but I like the outcome. I like the outcome. I didn't enjoy having back surgery, I can guarantee you. But after the back surgery, I felt a whole lot better than I did before the back surgery. I may not like the process and its details, but the outcome, I love. The outcome is magnificent. But I cannot figure it out by sight or natural understanding. The things that God has prepared for them, this has been prepared for you.
Thanks a lot, God.
He says, you have no idea. He says, you may not thank me today, and you may not thank me tomorrow, but you will thank me. You see, as that momentary light affliction that I'm enduring, as I go through that, I'm gaining. What am I gaining? If nothing else, and there's plenty else, but if nothing else, I'm gaining an eternal weight of glory in that momentary light affliction. Pastor Schaller had them show that thing about Richard Wurmbrand. This man knew affliction. He didn't enjoy it. But he was one of the sweetest people I've ever met. The heart in that man and the heart in his wife were supernatural. You see, the momentary light affliction was prepared for him. Why? Because he loved God. That's why. Anyone who loves God is going to face his trials and his challenges where God says sight is not going to work for you. And either is your natural understanding. As we go through the difficult things or even the good things in our lives, because remember, it's in the good times that we train ourselves to walk by sight and to walk by emotions and to walk by natural understanding. It's not in the bad times. So as we go through these different things that challenge us or that make us feel good, understand something. That whatever it is that's in your life, it has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And if it seems cruel to you, be aware of this. The surgeon always cuts before he heals. Cutting is a requirement for healing if you're dealing with the surgeon. That God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Revealed, apekaluthen. That it means to reveal, to remove a veil or covering, exposing to open view what was before hidden, to make manifest or reveal a thing previously secret or unknown, particularly applied to supernatural revelation. You see, we are not natural beings, we are spiritual beings. We have a life that is supernatural. Although we see that which is natural, we're told, the school system, everything else, beats it into our head that we are dealing with the natural, but we are not. We are dealing with the supernatural. We have a supernatural God and we have a supernatural enemy, and we, in fact, are supernatural beings because God is living inside of us if we are born again. So we are really dealing with the supernatural, not with the natural. And He is revealing to us things by His Holy Spirit about our supernatural lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much prefer for my life to be a supernatural life than a natural one. A natural life I can do on my own, and quite frankly, I did it, been there, done that, wasn't too spectacular. The supernatural life, that's a walk of faith and not of sight, that's a walk of trusting God, although it can be very challenging at times, it's also unbelievably rewarding. Did you know there is never a time that God lets you down when you're walking in the perfect will of God? He won't let you down, and it doesn't matter what you happen to enter into, He won't let you down. You see, he doesn't say, I'm going to give you an egg and give you a serpent. He says, I'm going to give you that which is perfect right from the throne. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not something he does grudgingly. So God had revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. Here's the thing, guys. You want to know what the maturity barrier is? Walking by the Spirit. Living by the Spirit of God. There's your maturity barrier. If you can live by the Spirit of God, you've broken the maturity barrier. If you still need that which is natural, then God is still working in your heart to break you through the maturity barrier. If you need sight to believe, you have an immature faith. If you can believe something just because God said it, you're walking in the Spirit of God. Why? Because your faith is trusting Him. Your faith is trusting Him. See, it was the one who trusted God that was called God's friend. Right? It was the one who trusted God who was called God's friend. It wasn't the one who didn't trust Him. Now, that's not something that I get instantly. That's something that has to be worked into my heart. And unfortunately for me, and unfortunately for you, the thing that works it into my heart most effectively is trials. This is why Peter said the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Because it works into you a trust that causes you to become a friend of God. Now in John 16:13, the Word of God said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. If the Holy Spirit can speak to my heart and guide me and give me promises, if the Holy Spirit can speak to my life and give me specifics for my life, and I simply believe, I've broken the maturity barrier. But this seems, in some ways, and it is, in some ways, it's very simple. But there's only one problem with it. It requires a cross. Because my natural thinking is still going to say, God, I want to understand. God, I want to know how, I want to know when, I want to know why, I want to know the details. And God says, I'm not offering you the details, all I offer is promises. Notice that's all He ever did in the Bible. He gave promises, He didn't give explanations or details. He never told Abraham just how it's going to work out. He never told Noah how he's going to make the rain come. He never told any of them. He never told Moses how it is that they're going to enter into the promised land. He just said to Moses, I'm going to get you there. He says the same thing to us. Here's my promise, I'm going to get you there. Now, will you trust me? Moses did not at first. He said, I have a speech impediment. How can I go to Pharaoh with a speech impediment? Now, God could make a donkey talk, but Moses couldn't figure that one out. Moses didn't trust him at first. Abraham did not trust him at first. Noah did, as far as we know. Why? Because Noah had already broken the maturity barrier when he received the promise, but Moses and Abraham did not break the maturity barrier when they received their promise. It doesn't matter if I've received or if I've broken the maturity barrier as far as God goes. However, my capacity to receive is based on whether I have the ability to trust God. Israel had not broken the maturity barrier when they were promised Canaan. Israel still murmured. Israel still doubted. Israel said there's giants in the land. Israel still walked by sight. They still did not trust God. However, when they entered into the promised land, they knew how to trust God. When they entered into the promised land, nobody said a word about walking around Jericho 7 times, carrying a box and singing. And this is going to defeat Jericho. Well, yeah, that will defeat Jericho. Why? Because that's how God said to do it. And it did defeat Jericho. You see, He will show you the things to come because He's a Spirit of truth and He guides you into all truth. What is He doing? Like, what is He doing with the challenges? What is He doing with the processes that He's sent into my life? What is He doing? You know what, if I could pick one process that really burns people, that really gets them off course, it is waiting. It is waiting. Waiting is the one that buys us the time to say, I want to understand. And God says, you know what? He says, I'm eternal. We can wait. And I say to God, I'm not eternal. And He says, that's where you're mistaken. You actually are. You see, what is it that is to stop God from doing things when He wants to do them? There is one thing. The thing that will stop God is my lack of faith. It won't prevent Him, but it will delay Him. Just like Israel. Just like Israel. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit seeks them out, and He brings them to our heart. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Now this is an interesting passage here, where it's really saying, and the Amplified puts it really well, for what person perceives, knows and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? You know what that's talking about? It's not my soul that can understand. It's my spirit. There are 3 parts to a man, right? A man who is born again. There are 3 parts to a man who is born again. The body, right? The body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, the soul cannot understand, but the Spirit can. It is the Spirit that is communicating with the Holy Spirit. The soul has 5 parts. It has mind, emotions, consciousness, self-conscious, also self-image, and volition. Those things cannot understand the thing that goes through the mind. I cannot know my thoughts by my soul. Because my other parts of myself, they're affecting me. My self-image may be affecting the way that I understand and perceive. The things that have been put into my mind that may be incorrect but serve as a premise or foundation for the thinking that I have, they influence the way that I think. They influence what I perceive. But the spirit of man receives directly from the Spirit of God. And the spirit of man, as it is receiving from the Spirit of God, checks my heart and checks my thoughts and checks my emotions and checks my decisions and checks my self-image. And the Spirit of God says, this is not it, this is not right. If my thoughts are incorrect, the Spirit of God convicts me. And He says, no, this isn't it. It's this other way. But my soul says, no, God, I want it this way. It is better for my emotions that it be this way. And God says, no. And He speaks to the human spirit. And so the human spirit and the human soul are having something of a conversation. What is that conversation saying? It's God speaking to the heart of a man, to the mind of a man. When I receive the Word of God, I must receive it into the human spirit. What does that mean? I have to mix faith with what I hear so that it can really do a benefit for me. But I have to be spirit-filled in order to not hear it in my soul. Because if all the Word of God is doing is building my intellect, if all the Word of God is doing is soothing my emotions, then it's going to become a very frustrating experience to have the Word of God. Because in my intellect and in my emotions, I have no capacity whatsoever to have transformation. But when I receive the human, but when I receive the Word of God into the human spirit, and that's done by mixing faith in humility with what I hear, when I receive it into the human spirit, then the human spirit through the Holy Spirit transforms the contents of the soul. If I receive it in my natural intellect, then all I am doing is I'm gathering information in an academic exercise, which then I put alongside of other information. But if I receive it in my human spirit, the information from the Word of God that I receive becomes my frame of reference and serves as a foundational premise for all of my thinking, and my thinking is transformed. Do you see why it is so important that we not try to understand what God has prepared by seeing or by natural reasoning? Because there is no transformation that way. There is no conformity to the image of God that way. All there is perhaps getting a little bit puffed up in my head because now I think I know something. But when the trial comes, it won't sustain me. I'll guarantee you one thing. Any born-again believer who receives information into their soul will have God reveal it to them. Why? Because His purpose for our lives is to transform us into His image. And it's not going to happen through my human intellect. God's mind is far above my mind. It's not going to happen in my human intellect. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And what it's saying is, just so no one discerns, and this is from the Amplified, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So if I am to understand, if I'm to have the thoughts of God, if I am to have the understanding properly of what God is doing in my life, it's not going to come through the soul's reasoning. It's going to come through the Spirit's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And as the human spirit fellowships with the Holy Spirit starts leading me in that truth. He starts revealing the truths of my life to me. And that's when He can start revealing to me things to come, and I don't flip out, I don't get anxious, I don't get nervous. Now, He'll show me perhaps things even before I'm ready to hear them in my maturity level, like what He did with Abraham or with Moses or with Peter or so many other believers. Even with Mary to a degree, and she was wonderful, but she says, God, how can that be? God was kind to her, and He explained. And as in that one explanation, Mary grew. I mean, the growth that happened to Mary in that one sentence, that which is done in you is of the Holy Spirit, that caused profound growth in her life. By the way, guys, growth can be very rapid. It doesn't always have to be slow. Mary grew in one sentence. And what was her confession after? She said, according to your word be it unto me. The Holy Spirit revealed something. In that case, the angel spoke what the Holy Spirit had given him to say to her. But the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God. And they transform me. Does that mean that I understand the plan? Does that mean that I know the details? No. What it does mean is when I come into the circumstance, I realize God is working here. Do I know the end result? Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. God is working here. I drove every single day. Lately I drive by road work on the highway. I'm not sure what they're doing, but you know what I can tell? They're building something. Brilliant deduction, isn't it? They're building something. But yet, when God is doing something in my heart, why is it that I cannot make the deduction that God is building something? I think God wants to kill me. He wants to destroy me. He's challenging me. I've sinned. I've failed. He's punishing me. No. God wants to build something in you. God doesn't tear down. He builds. He may have to clear a little bit of brush before He builds, but He'll do it and He'll build. You get it? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Folks, that desire to walk by sight, that desire to understand with natural reasoning, is a desire for the spirit of the world. This is where that comes from. It's the spirit of the world that says you must understand. And it's the spirit of the world that says you must see. And it's the spirit of the world that says take all the information, gather it, put it together, and make your decisions. And it seems perfectly reasonable to us. But it's the spirit of the world. God doesn't operate that way. Folks, let's get something straight. God doesn't operate by your standards. Right? God doesn't operate by my time clock. He doesn't operate by my agenda. And He doesn't operate by my standards. Well, that's a good thing. Because I don't know beans. And if I think I know anything at all, I don't know anything as I should. So if I think I know one thing, the Bible says I know nothing. God works on His standards and His time and on His agenda. And by the way, He bought you with a price. My life is not my own. It belongs to another. He purchased me with His blood. Now, He could have not purchased me. But then I'd be going to hell. So it seems to me like a good trade. I got purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And I get eternity with God. It's that simple. God's not really that interested, in my opinion, of His plan. God was not that interested that Israel was terrified of the Philistine. He's just sent this little 15-year-old runt, the only one in Israel who had any guts at all, because he was the only one at the time who was trusting God. And God wasn't interested that it was a 15-year-old kid that took on the giant. And by the way, the giant was about 9 feet tall. That's not just a fancy Bible story. That's for real. Why in the world do people today think that everybody had to be between 5'5 and 6 foot? And I'm not talking about evolution. There was a race of people who were very tall. And they were around until relatively recently, just a few thousand years ago. And the Philistines were their descendants. And there were others. And the Canaanites were huge. That's why they said there's giants in the land. They weren't exaggerating. The Canaanites were huge. They really were giants in the land. 9 foot was not an unusual height. It was for Israel, but it wasn't for the race of very, very tall people. So we had those genes eliminated from our gene pool, and we're all a bunch of shrimpies now. But David was the only one who had any guts because he was the only one who was trusting God. The rest of them could have experienced the same thing David had, but he was the only one that was willing to trust God in order to experience it. Gideon, a nowhere little guy from a nowhere little family, from a nowhere little town, from a nowhere little tribe. God calls him, he says, "Who, me?" And he says to God, "I'm a nowhere little guy from a nowhere little town, from a nowhere little family, and a nowhere little tribe." And God says, "That's exactly what I'm looking for." Folks, don't try to figure out the plan of God in your life. God's got the plan that He wants. Just respond to Him by faith. When I can respond to God by faith without the need to figure it out, I've broken the maturity barrier. Simple as that. If I have in my heart a peace that passes understanding, even though I cannot possibly understand the details or the timing or whatever it is, but if I have the peace of God in my heart, in other words, I'm not anxious, I'm not frustrated, I'm not panicking, I'm not frantic, I'm not excited, I'm not whatever. Get this, I'm not tripping over myself with anticipation. If I simply have the peace of God in my heart because I trust God that as He said, so it shall be, then I've reached the maturity barrier. I've hit that maturity barrier and I went right through it. But yet, I'll guarantee you, I won't know that until the trial comes. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, literally, not in words taught by human wisdom. Human wisdom cannot grasp or impart the things of God. Human understanding is not sufficient. We are talking about the mind of the one who was able to speak existence into existence. He created beyond the universe. The universe is just a portion of that which is created because heaven is beyond the universe. Heaven is bigger. He created the angels who we can't even fathom, really. We kind of get a scratch of the surface. He created all these things and the universe was just a detail. And we can't even figure out how big it is. It's like He made the box and we can't figure out the box. So how big's the box? And then He put all that stuff in it. And we can't even figure out what's on the moon. They're crashing things into the moon trying to figure out, is there water there? They've already been there and they don't know if there's water there. How much good is our natural ability to reason things out? It doesn't give us any information. They're trying to figure out how do we get to be alive on earth. Well, the Bible told you. Even that much their human reasoning couldn't figure out. Read the Bible. Oh, that's not according to my human reasoning. That's because you're stupid. Your human reasoning has left you in a place of being stupid. It has. Why? Because the only wisdom that exists is a wisdom that comes through the Word of God and knowing how to skillfully apply it. That's why Psalms 14 verse 1 and 56 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's why I think their great-grandmother was a chimpanzee. She only looked like one, but she really wasn't. No, the things of God, folks, the plan of God in your life, the activity of God in your life, cannot be discerned through human thought. It can't. It cannot be discerned through human thought. You see, in John 6:63, the Word of God says, it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, for this cause we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. This is why faith comes by hearing, and faith is the only way that I can perceive the things of God. It's not sight, it's faith. Simple as that. It's not sight, it's faith. So what does that mean? That means God said to you, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a missionary, whatever it happens to be, doesn't have to be that, can be anything, but God said that to you. It's not sight, it's faith. And then it's up to Him to do all His good pleasure, and up to you to trust Him in His operation in your life. And when you learn how to trust Him in that operation, to where you're no longer needing to figure it out, where you're no longer anxious, you have reached the maturity barrier. Most Christians have not reached the maturity barrier. They haven't. Because as soon as the test comes, so many believers will flip out. But some have. And when the test comes, they have peace that passes understanding. Now, mind you, they don't have peace that gives understanding. They don't have peace that gives understanding. They have peace that passes understanding. In other words, they have peace that needs no understanding to function effectively in their life. And so they have calmness. They have clarity of thought. They have expectation of God. They do not have emotions that are killing them. They have emotions that are promoting them in the kingdom of God as they are responding in their emotions to the initiations of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and His promises towards their life, mixing faith with what they heard, and their emotions are responding with positive initiations to their soul so that their soul has contentment. It doesn't come by natural understanding. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's simply what that's saying is that it's not actually comparing. It's that the Spirit of God initiates it with doctrine. If you look it up in the dictionaries, they say it's what it is talking about is the spiritual truths being effected and promoted in my life by spiritual words. So in other words, the truth of God becomes a reality in my life through doctrine. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Natural man, and it's there, psychikos, and it's talking about the soulish or unregenerated man. What is the soulish man? The natural, the man who lives in one of the five parts of his soul, rather than in the human spirit. The man who tries to think and understand with human intellect, in his mind, the one who responds and demands his emotions, one who's perhaps wondering and kind of making decisions and foundational premise for their thinking is their self-image. One who's all about decisions rather than transformation. This is the soulish man. That person, the soulish man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. He can't understand them, so the word there is folly and absurdity. They're absurd to him. What do you mean I should trust God for my life? That's absurd. That's stupid. What do you mean go to Bible college? What's Bible college going to get me? That's stupid. That's a waste of time and money. Where's that going to get me at my job? Well, you're talking about soulish man. How many believers give more of a hoot about their job, which they're not going to keep in the end anyway? Like, how many people kept their job for eternity? No, really. I'm not joking. How many people kept their job for eternity? How many people kept their education for eternity? Why do you worry about stuff that you can't hold on to? Isn't that what we believers do? We worry about the things that we can't hold on to, as though God didn't say He gives us all things. As though God didn't say, I will not suffer my children begging for bread. As though God didn't say, if you ask, and you ask me for bread, I will not give you a stone. If you ask me for an egg, I will not give you a viper. As though God didn't say, I will supply all your needs. But I need it. Do you have it? No, then you don't need it. Yes, I do. Are you breathing? Yes, but I'm not very happy about things. Well, that's because not because you don't have the thing that you need, that you don't trust God in your circumstance. That's why you're not very happy about things, and you're living in that effect of your soul, in that particular detail of life. Instead, trust God in that detail of your life, and your emotions will be just fine. You'll be plenty happy. Hey, you know what? You know when Isaac came? When Abraham stopped trying. Isaac came when Abraham stopped trying and just started trusting. That's when Isaac came. They are foolishness to the soulish man. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Verse 14 in the Amplified is a good translation. It says, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly and meaningless nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. It's only in the human spirit, not in the human soul, where I receive the things of God. You know, I think one of the things that would really, as believers, would really transform our lives, would really go so far to help us with trusting God, as if we could understand this one truth. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Do you get that? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Nor are my ways your ways. Do you understand? If we could just grab a hold of that. God's thoughts aren't my thoughts. His ways aren't my ways. It's in Isaiah 55:8. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Do you get that? He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The things of God, the ways of God, the plan of God, the purposes of God are going to achieve their intended result. And I will not for a moment understand them. Understanding only comes as hindsight. It never comes in the process. I don't know how many times I've been called to things that I could not possibly understand. And I tried to figure him out and predict what God was going to do next, and every time I got it wrong. But you know what? The outcome was always exactly what he said it would be. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. That means the person who is walking in the Spirit, he can discern all things that are going on, but nobody can understand his life. It is not hard to discern when God is doing something. Oh, I may not understand the details, but I know where it's coming from. It is not hard to discern when God speaks. I may not understand why or exactly how or when or any of that stuff, but it's easy to discern His voice. By the way, His voice is not discerned by striving. I don't have to try to hear God. This is where people enter into subjectivity. They ask God something and then they try to hear Him. If you're trying to hear God, I guarantee you, you're not hearing Him. What you're hearing is the contents of your own head. How do I do things? Let's try this. What's your name? Did I hear him say it or not? I don't know. Okay, what's his name? What came into my mind? Jack, Harold, David. I heard Cliff somewhere in there. You see what I'm saying? What is it that somebody stares and somebody... Well, doesn't that strike you a bit weird that I would ask you what's your name and stare in your face? Sure it does. It strikes God equally weird. Of course it does. We believers are some of the weirdest people on the face of this planet. Why? Because we think we have to do something to hear. No, you've got the ability to hear. Just listen. What did he say? God is this one. God, when God says something, you'll hear Him. How hard is it to hear my voice? When God says something, you'll hear Him. Don't strive wondering if you heard Him. When God says something, you'll hear Him and you won't wonder who it was. We believers, we say, God, tell me this, and we start with all the thoughts in our head and we start listening to every single one of them. And it's going to end up in one of two things, both of which have the same source. It's going to end up in hyper-spirituality or confusion. And the source of both of them is subjectivity. Now, if God says something, you'll hear Him. And you won't have to wonder in your head, was it God? Was it not God? Was it God? Was it not God? Was it not? Was it... Hey, did you know I'm talking tonight? Was anybody unsure who these words are coming from? Like, whose voice is it that you are hearing? Is there anybody here that thinks that maybe Dan is doing the talking right now? Or maybe Martha? Is anybody thinking, like, maybe Deborah here? Deborah, You're preaching tonight, are you, huh? Melinda, this is Melinda's voice. Why do you think it's any harder to hear God's voice and be certain? If God says something, then you'll know, and if He doesn't say anything, then don't worry about it. Have you ever had a situation where somebody just stayed quiet? See, what happens to us believers, God stays quiet, we get insecure. Isn't that what most people do? Like, you go up and you say something to them, and if they don't answer you, you'll either react and say, oh, you're arrogant, or you just get insecure, oh, well, what's wrong with me that they won't answer me? Maybe they were preoccupied with something and didn't realize that you had said something. Or maybe they didn't have an answer to give at the moment. And rather than just give you a careless answer, they gave you none. Maybe they knew that the answer they would give wouldn't be understood. And so they gave no answer. Maybe God knows, if He's waiting to speak to me, if I have a question, He's waiting to speak to me, maybe He knows that I'm not ready to hear the answer. But we get insecure. You know why? Because we don't believe He loves us. We get insecure. Yeah, He does love you. And He will answer. And if He gave you a promise, He'll fulfill it. If you have an answer that you're looking for in prayer, it will come. But on His timetable and in His way. And you won't necessarily, as a matter of fact, you won't usually understand it. But you'll know this much. If you're spiritual, you'll know God is working. And if you know God is working, it's because you trust Him. And if you trust Him, then you will be available to have Him order your steps. And if He's ordering your steps, people will not be able to figure out your life. Why? Because it's from God. And you can't figure it out either. What am I doing here? God sent you. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Like, God takes you where He wants you. And God comes and He starts affecting your life. And you can't tell where He's coming from, and He can't tell where He's taking you. But He takes you where He wants you. It's not in a man, in Jeremiah 10:23, to know his own way. But God, He directs my steps. So how do I get into this place where I break through that maturity barrier? How do I get to this place where I simply trust Him? In Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Say that again. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. But you don't understand. I want the thing of the earth. There's your problem. That's where your problem's coming from. You want the thing of the earth. And God says, He'll give you the thing that's above. And when I seek first His kingdom, then things get added unto me. not the other way around. When I seek the things first, the kingdom doesn't get added. I seek the kingdom first, and then everything else is added. So set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Your emotions will be a whole lot healthier. Your understanding is going to be a whole lot more clear. Your thinking is going to be a whole lot more sober. Set your mind on things above. Your self-image is going to be a whole lot better. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. Past tense, it's already happened. You're already dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. And here, when you finally get to this place where you're simply trusting, not trying to figure out, but trusting, that's when you get to start experiencing what it means to have a life hid with Christ in God. Because your perception is changed by faith, where it was corrupted by an attempt at natural understanding. So when Paul says that eye has not seen or ear heard, that it cannot be understood by sight, and it cannot be comprehended through natural understanding, that's because those two things operate outside of faith. That when I set my mind on the things above, what I'm doing is I'm enforcing faith in my frame of reference. That's when I start experiencing that victory over my own soul, victory over my mind, my emotions, my self-image, the whole nine yards. That's where I start experiencing that victory, and I break through the maturity barrier. Amen.